Hi, Stephen. How are you doing tonight?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, Oliver. Like I said, a bit crazy with work and a bit crazy with Christmas, but getting there and yeah, I'm feeling good. How about you?
Myself, just happy to be doing this. Watched the show on Friday night, and we're talking on Wednesday afternoon. And just looking forward to getting this review done, really,
Yeah.
as I'm sure you are as well.
Definitely.
So, I think we'll just go straight into the review because lots of matches to talk about and stuff. And we start off with the Party Peacock, Dalton Castle, again, and the prestigious one, Joe Hendry, almost said against each other. You'll probably laugh at that, Stephen, but no one else. Versus two guys, one tag, which is Josh the Goods Woods and the last real man, Silas Young. This was a good tag team match. Backwards and forwards, and just the idea was to put Silas Young and Josh Goods over an ex former ROH world champion and obviously Joe Hendry. And then, like we said on the ROH TV review, and possibly the preview of Final Battle, is Josh Woods and Silas Young really work well together. Sorry,
Yeah.
and by keeping them undefeated, it really shows that Ring of Honor is gonna get behind them and move them up tag division. And that's kind of what I took away from this match, and this is how the review will be, kind of what we think, what the takeaways of the match are, and things of that nature. So, Steve, what did you make of this match?
I thought it was really, really good. I thought the crowd were really into it. I thought it was a great pre-show opener. Josh Woods and Silas Young, as we've said before, are a brilliant tag team. And I thought that, Joe Hendry and Dalton Castle were a really good, strong team as well. I thought they had really good chemistry together. And it was just really one of those great Ring of Honor tag team matches, which they obviously are really famous for. It felt like one of those. I'd like to see them go at it again. I thought it was really, really good stuff. And Josh Woods, like we said before as well, he's just come on so strong in the past 2 years. He's just a completely different wrestler to what he was, 2 years ago. I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was really
And
good.
I think the only other thing as well was the possible miscommunication in the match with Hendry and Dalton Castle.
Yeah.
For myself, that's leading to a one-on-one match at possibly the 18th year anniversary show. Do you
Yeah,
this?
it would. Yeah, it's it looked like that. I'm just thinking, yeah, 18 years, God, it feels like such a long time to have been watching Ring of Honor and following it. That's crazy to think, but you just kind of baffled me. That's crazy. No, I
Well,
did see that.
that one
Yeah,
Ring of Honor to go away in 2020,
no, not at all.
and I just want to say at this point, sorry, before you respond to that, the resilience of Ring of Honor,
Yeah.
the super, the well, I'm not gonna say superstars, that's kind of a WWEism, but the stars of Ring of Honor, the ones that they've lost because of different reasons. Dating back to 2004, Ring of Honor has lost a lot of stars over the years and still continues to, they're trying to create new stars. They're trying to move things forward. And in Josh the Goods Woods, they're creating a really big star there, and really, enjoy this tag team, him and
Yeah.
Silas Young. Not sure about the tag team name, but really enjoying the tag team itself. So, as you were saying, Stephen, I'm pointing towards Dalton Castle versus Joe Hendry for the 18th year anniversary show, as that's kind of the next big platform.
Yeah.
And you see that yourself? Did you pick up on this miscommunication towards the end of the match?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. And I think it's a great little sort of teaser into from what we've seen on the TV show as well. It was great to see it actually within the ring and see the sort of rifts between the two of them, and you know, you get to sort of lead into a really, hopefully a really strong feud between two really entertaining members of the Ring of Honor roster. And it's great as well when, you know, we've not really seen Dalton Castle on the TV show, but at Final Battle we, you know, saw him, you know, in a match, and you know, it's great to see him actually in the ring, and just the little mannerisms and the little, you know, sort of taunts that he does, and his, even like his facial expressions, and just how they worked together, even Joe Hendry and Dalton Castle, that kind of, they have to work together, yet they don't really want to work together. It was a really sort of clever way of booking it. So I thought it was really good.
Josh Woods were booked up until the point when it became a mentorship, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so the next thing was a backstage segment with Wrestling With Regrets, Brian Zane, trying to speak to the Allure. In this instance, Angelina Love and Mandy Leon, basically saying that she's not scared of Maria Manic. and yeah, that's kind of what you got from that.
Yeah.
Coming back to the arena, Alex Shelley made a unexpected entrance. He basically called out Colt Cabana, who he's never wrestled before, to have a match on the main show, which, you know, we didn't expect this to happen, but I think we both had smiles on our faces when it was booked for the main show, didn't we, Steve?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
This match was set for the Final Battle show. You know, we're huge fans of technical wrestling, or as we like to put it, pure wrestling, and bring back the ROH pure title every show, I promise, every show. So yeah, the next thing was Rick Titus against Kenny King. All Night Express explodes. You know, they did a recap of the history of the two, which was really well done. Showing how they won the tag titles. And then how Kenny King, after Rick Titus has, you know, welcomed a newborn baby into his life, Kenny King saying he's like he's lost his edge and stuff, which we didn't see on the TV, the ROH TV leading up to this, but it seemed like it was taped for TV, maybe for the American version. In this match, once again, good fight. You know, Rick Titus showing a lot of heart in the match. I'm not sure what the loss does for him, but I can understand Kenny King winning the match, because obviously we said he's got the tools to get to the very top and you need to be winning matches. But yeah, Rick Titus is kind of defending his family and then goes on to lose the match. So I'm not sure about that, really. What did you make of it, Stephen?
I thought it was a really strong, another really strong, fun match. I think Rhett Titus is one of those guys who has come up through the Ring of Honor system, and I feel he should have got the big win here at Final Battle, and I can kind of understand why Kenny King did win, but yet I wish that Rhett Titus would have got the victory. And I thought there was a lot of great moments in the match. They're both really strong wrestlers. I mean, they should be higher up the card, really, in my opinion. I feel that this is hopefully going to be the start, again, of a really strong feud between the two of them heading into 2020, sort of, again, because the All Night Express were such a prominent tag team at one point in Ring of Honor.
It feels like the beginning of the feud, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm not sure if that's going to be the case based on things that have happened later. But it felt like the beginning of a feud, like the first match.
Yeah.
And the way it ended, obviously, Kenny King had to cheat to win.
Yeah.
So, obviously, from a Rick Titus perspective, he didn't lose.
No.
He cheated out of the win, basically. Yeah. Brian Zane again with the house mic asking the Brawler Milanas and the Beer City Bruiser who's going to win the main event between PCO and Roosh. Milanas said Roosh and Beer City Brewers have said PCO, so it's nice to see they're divided. And it was teased the whole way through the pre-show that there might be a third match.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm sure you were kind of dumbfounded that this was the case, but
yeah,
they gave away on the pre-show and for free on Facebook Live, on Fight TV, and on the Honor Club, that Jeff Cobb, the Hawaiian juggernaut, against Dan Maft, one of the matches that we're most looking forward to on the main card.
Yeah.
Kudos to Ring of Honor for, you know, giving away one of the top reasons to watch the pay-per-view. No, I mean that in all sincerity.
Yeah,
in all,
no, that's true.
It was a good way to try and get new customers.
Yeah.
So, but I was surprised that this was the case. Going to the match itself, fantastic big man match.
Awesome.
Two horses, kind of, I'll come to you in a second, Stephen. Two horses, you know, fighting, you know, proper fights, and, you know, the Cobb with his moonsaults, and Dan Maff with his, you know, crazy like Tope con Hilo and stuff. And it was just a brilliant almost 9 minutes of proper wrestling, of like heavyweight wrestling. Surprised it wasn't on the main card. Yeah, a great way to end the pre-show. What did you make of it, Stephen?
I thought this was a brilliant, fantastic match, and I just was, you know, disappointed like you that it wasn't on the main card, because it would have been a great opener for the pay-per-view. This, we did get a great opener, but this would have been a fantastic opener for the actual pay-per-view. And, you know, I want to see Jeff Cobb and Dan Maff go at it again, because the chemistry the two of them had was unbelievable. And the striking and the suplexes and the stuff they were doing, the dives, and it was just, the crowd were electric. It was like the crowds of old in Ring of Honor were just, you know, so excited. And it was just, you couldn't not get into this match. It was just so, they're not polar opposites. They're just sort of like mirror images of each other in terms of size and in terms of, you know, their move sets and stuff. It was great. It was just absolutely great. And I'm so glad that Dan Maff's back in Ring of Honor, if he can have more matches with guys like Jeff Cobb.
Yeah, and I love the chopping of each other at the end. He's like, yeah, we're gonna go at it, and nope, we're friends. that's a weird way to say you're friends, but okay. Brilliant, like a samurai themed video to start the main show. I thought that was really well done.
Yeah.
And then this kind of leads into the first match, which, after looking at the card, was the perfect opening match between Mexi Blood, your favorite tag team,
yeah,
Bandido and Flamita, against Villain Enterprises, Flick Gordon and Mighty Skrull, who are two of the three six-man tag team champions in ROH. This was incredible.
Yep.
Is the best way I can put it. Innovative, fast, pumped up the crowd. You know, this was great. And 21 plex,
yeah,
which I've never heard before, but was was amazing. And the one thing, obviously, I believe it was Flamita who slipped on the ropes, caught himself, regained composure, and still went through with the dive. Which just goes to show how skilled these athletes are. Yeah, 21 plex. And we'd obviously talked about this at length in the preview show and stuff, about the possibility of Marty Skrull, leaving, and he actually took the pinfall, which made you think he's definitely on his way out the door. But in terms of this match, for an opening match, looking at the card, perfect way to start the show. And yeah, just brilliant, really. One of the matches of the night, And what did you make of this, Stephen?
I thought it was everything you've just said and more. I thought it was a wonderful match. And I know, like you just mentioned, there was a couple of near misses and a couple of people might put in inverted commas like botches, but thankfully they were able to, you know, regain themselves. And the speed at which Bandido and Flamita can work at, and the innovation of the pair of them, and, you know, Flip Gordon as well in there, who's just, you know, again, an incredible athlete. And the crowd getting so amped up for Marty Scurll and Bandido when they were facing each other, it was just great, you know. And it's just, it's one of those things where, again, it's just a small preview seeing these two in Ring of Honor, Mexa Blood, to what they can do in 2020. And if you want to have a great opener to a show, this is the way to open a show, you know. And yeah, just wonderful. You know, it's one of those things where you have to sort of see it to fully appreciate it, because we could go through move for move, but I feel that kind of takes away from watching it. There were so many.
You can go through move for move, Stephen. My eye is too old for that, I'm afraid.
I will say, though, one thing, that Flamita's body, his actual tone, it's sort of his. I've seen him previously in Dragon Gate and things, but he's got himself a lot stockier. He's got a really good physique, you know. So I thought it was just a little point there. But yeah, I thought it was great. And sure. Marty taking the pinfall as well, you know, obviously led to what happened later on, you know, the same weekend.
So, the next match is Matt Taven. against Hurricane Vincent, who's lost his last name, thankfully.
No one can pronounce it.
Yeah, we could, but it's still awkward. there was a video package before the match, obviously showing him as the attacker of Matt Taven and TK O'Reilly, I think.
Yeah, TK O'Ryan.
TK O'Ryan, okay. Yeah, that's me trying to come to grips with the new ROH wrestlers. And this one was brutal, in a word. Just brutal from start to finish. That's kind of my notes on the match, Stephen. Is there anything you'd like to add? And Vincent winning the match was the right idea, I guess. Kicking out of Matt Taven's finish twice doesn't do much for his finishing move.
No.
But makes Vincent look like the Hurricane monster that he's trying to be.
Yeah.
So I guess it makes sense from that perspective. But I kind of throw this one to you. What did you make of it?
Just the same as you. Absolutely brutal. You know, the concrete, the whole thing with the concrete is just, you know, it's for me, it's too much, especially, you know, considering injuries and things. And, you know, it was one, and the dive on the apron as well, which Matt Taven gave to Vincent, was absolutely, and the height what he was able to get looked absolutely devastating, you know. But it was a real, one of those matches which was like a real grudge match. You could feel the hatred between the two of them, and they were going, it was one of those hard-hitting, hardcore matches where it wasn't all about swinging chairs and, you know, bats and things. It was more about two men just brutalizing each other with, you know, sort of hard-hitting maneuvers. And yeah, I thought it was a great, great match. It was just, there were certain aspects of it where I was wincing more as to the later repercussions and medical implications the two of them might have. But it was a great match, though. It was a great, great match. And Matt Taven's dive out to the outside still amazes me, just how much height he's able to get on it. You know, his toe-pay does.
So,
I thought it was a really good match, but it was also one which there was certain parts of it which I was questioning as well.
Part of it you may have wanted to watch from behind the sofa.
Yeah.
And then Bateman turns up, Tombstone's Taven, and then he's got a red V on his hand. which kind of signifies he has joined forces with Vincent.
Yeah.
Which makes Vincent that much more dangerous.
Yeah.
And probably helps Bateman, because obviously from the ROH TV review last week, we weren't sure which way they were going with him, but if he can, you know, jump in line with Vincent, that might help him a great deal. So
yeah,
you're on board with that, I take it.
Yeah, definitely. I think, as I said last time on the ROH TV review, Bateman's got a ton of potential, and you know they're both sort of sinister characters, and I hope that Bateman is able to bring a bit more out of Vincent, because Vincent, although I do like him, I feel he's got aspects of him which he needs to work on, and I feel that with Bateman there, he might be able to bring some more of that sinister side out of him, and him and Matt Taven as well might end up having some great matches down the line as well, because you know, obviously with the Tombstone after the match and things. So yeah, I thought, and it was great to see him on Final Battle as well. You know, they're putting a lot of stock into him, which is really good, you know. Yep. So yeah, it was a good moment.
Yep. And the next match is Overkill, Mark Haskins versus Bully Ray. I'm not quite sure about that nickname for Haskins, unless it's just kind of a wink, wink kind of thing. Yeah, so this one started off in a brutal way once again.
Yeah.
A board with barbed wire being smashed into Mark Haskins' back and then Vicky Haskins' face. And you were like, okay. you know, kudos to both of them, obviously, especially Vicky Haskins, for doing that for the sake of the match. I guess you can say is, you know, yeah, that's definitely commendable. But, yeah, it kind of showed where this match was going to go, and it got more brutal from there. And once again, you could feel the hatred Haskins using, you know, questionable language to bully Ray to get him to kind of trying to throw him off his game. And yeah, this was a long match that you could once again feel the hatred, so that's great. And for me, much like the Vincent Taven match, oh, I got it right that time. brutal, but maybe too much so. And yeah, Mark Haskins getting the win is the right decision. And yeah, that's kind of what I've got to say on the match. What about you, Steve? What do you think?
I thought it was a good hardcore match. I'm just a bit tight after watching Bully Ray in Ring of Honor for the past, you know, several, like 18 months. This is the kind of thing I've come to expect, which is a shame, because they went out there and they, you know, completely battered each other with barbed wire, with, you know, the guardrail, with ladders, with, you know, everything. And it was one of those matches again where it was very, it felt very long, and I enjoyed it, but it wasn't as enjoyable as other matches on the show. And I feel that Mark Haskins, the safety aspect again, where, you know, the amount of blood what was being, you know, like when he got thrown into barbed wire and things, and it just, I want these wrestlers to be protected, and I want the, because they're young and they've got a lot of potential, and I don't want them to end up, you know, injuring themselves before they get the chance. And I feel Mark Haskins is a guy who could have had another match on the show with someone else and could have had a really strong, shown a lot more of what he's able to do, is what I'm trying, you know, what I'm trying to say. Yeah. But I thought it was a good, blow off to the feud, definitely. I feel it was a really good blow off, but maybe it's just, it's not my cup of tea in terms of what I enjoy in a wrestling ring. That's how I'd put it.
I think the only concern here is you've had two matches of similar ilk back to back.
Yeah.
And that might be quote unquote overkill.
Yeah. No pun intended.
Yeah, pun intended. Like I said, nothing to take away from the athletes involved. You gave absolutely everything you had.
Yeah.
You've just got to question, obviously, from a safety perspective. Yeah, that would be the concern with that. But if all four men are all four men and one woman are happy to do that in order to have the best match that they can have, then you have to say more power to them, don't you? Really? It's definitely not my cup of tea or yours, but I have a feeling the next match might be.
Yeah.
So the next match was Alex Shelley versus Cole Cabana, and this was brilliant. And the only thing that was annoying to me was it didn't have the right amount of time to it. Like a brilliant story told, we'll chain wrestle at the beginning, frustration, then running the ropes and doing everything in a normal wrestling match to try and throw the other person off. And then for Shelley to take a quick pinfall, which completely shocked Cabana. It was like, oh, if you had just told this in like a 10, 15-minute match, it would have been the match of the night.
Yeah.
And nothing would have come close to it. But unfortunately, it went under 7 minutes. And, in certain instances, they say that, you want to leave the viewer wanting more. And that's what we were left thinking, I guess. So maybe job done. But
yeah.
This was really good. It had the capacity and the ability to be match of the night, just couldn't be with the short time frame. What did you make of this one, Stephen?
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. It was the Ring of Honor of old. Alex Shelley can still, he's still got it. Colt Cabana is just one of a kind, and they're just two wonderful technicians. And again, the catch element of it, the technique of it. It's what, again, the two wrestlers, like I think what they were saying, Ian Riccaboni and Caprice Coleman, where, the wrestlers in the back should be sat there taking notes of how to, work a crowd, how to, the different counters, the different techniques, the pinfalls combinations. And I just thought it was fantastic, and It was very short. Had I had the opportunity, I would have shaved off the Haskins and Bully Ray match and had this go a little bit longer. I thought it was a really good little addition to the pay-per-view, which, delivered. And I thought it was a really fun match and a great contrast to the previous two matches we'd just seen as well. It was a really great technical match.
The next match is Maria Manic against the Allures, Angelina Love with Mandy Leone. In terms of this match, got Maria Manic over in a good way in terms of being a strong woman who kind of takes whatever Angelina Love had and threw it back at her, and just looked really dominant. I'd say job done. Torture Rack and Angelina Love taps out. And I guess we've got a real contender for the Women of Honor division if they're happy to, reboost it and get it off the ground. What are your thoughts and feelings on this match, Stephen?
I was pleasantly surprised, and it was the first time I'd seen Maria Manic in the ring, and she's an absolute beast, like some of the Angelina Love was being thrown about like a rag doll. And I've never been a massive fan of Angelina Love, but I think her selling in this match was absolutely fantastic. I keep using that word fantastic, but she looked like she was completely out. Like, and Maria Manic looked, absolutely brutal with what she was delivering to her. And
it was very China-esque, wasn't it?
That was exactly what I was about to say. Yeah, that she very China-esque look and move set, and you can see she was obviously influenced by her. And I really surprisingly enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to seeing more of Maria Manic in the Women of Honor start again, a Women of Honor division, to see what she can bring in 2020. You know, I think it was definitely a great debut for someone coming into the company. And it was a pleasant surprise. I enjoyed it.
World Television Championship between Shane Taylor with his entourage, so to speak, Reverend Ron Hunt, and the Soldiers of Savagery, Moses and Khan.
I love that name.
Soldiers of Savagery.
Brilliant name.
Yeah, it's not bad, is it?
No.
Against Dragon Lee. And this was fantastic. Like, this was my match of the night. I wasn't expecting it to be this good. They really, really turned it on. Yeah, it just brilliant. The finishes and Dragon Lee kicking out of the package power driver, I believe.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong. And did he kick out of Welcome to the Land as well?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Yeah, he did as well. So, yeah, wasn't expecting that. And although I said for the fantasy booking aspect of things that we wanted to see Roosh versus Dragon Lee title for title, brother versus brother, this was still a huge upset because Shane Taylor was flying. He gave everything that he had in this match to Shane Taylor. And, yeah, he impressed me to an extent against Joe Hendry on ROH TV, but he blew it out of the water in this match. I really, really loved this ROH World Television title match. What did you think of this match, Stephen?
I thought it was, again, phenomenal. I thought that Dragon Lee looked awesome in his challenging of the TV championship in his first major show, Final Battle. I thought it was just such a great, great match. And the big man, little man dynamic was great. Shane Taylor is one of those guys who's just going to fly. He's so versatile. And I thought that there was so many clever spots in the match. And I thought the... the interaction as well with Shane Taylor and the audience and the camera and things when he was, talking to Roosh as well. There were little bits like that what I thought were really clever. And Dragon Lee just looked phenomenal. You know, he's just such a phenomenal wrestler. He's
talking to Roosh, what do you mean by that?
He had him on the... He was choking him and he said... He was on the apron and he said, I said something like, I'm beating up your little brother now, Roosh. I'm beating up your little brother or something to that effect.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Just briefly.
I watched this live on Friday night. You've watched this kind of last night. So,
I thought it was... I just thought it was great. A great TV title match. Put over Dragon Lee, incredibly strong. Shane Taylor looked like a really strong champion who lost his belt. Match of the night for me as well, definitely.
This just did everything it needed to do for the kind of the critics of the ROH booking. I'd kind of sit you down in front of this match and then ask how they've gone wrong.
Yeah.
Because everything was perfect. Like I said, big man, smaller man, dynamic was incredible. The right man won in terms of just giving a new dynamic to the ROH World Television Champion. This match was the Briscoes, Jay Briscoe and Mark Briscoe against Jay Lethal and Jonathan Gresham. Once again, the correct results with Jay Lethal and Jonathan Gresham, the ROH World Tag Team titles.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Gresham's first title in 3 years in Ring of Honor. In terms of the match, it was as good as you expected it to be.
Yeah.
And just they even cheated to win, which kind of shows that this feud isn't settled. It's just another part of it. But the titles have changed hands. So as good as the match is expected to be. Not quite on Dragon Lee versus Shane Taylor's level, but a really good tag match. What did you make of this match, Stephen?
I thought it was, again, a really strong tag team match. It wasn't just as strong as the opener, but it was what I expected of the two teams involved. I thought that the Briscoes looked strong as champions. It's kind of that tired thing where, you know, you kind of stick the title on the Briscoes because they're always there, and then who's going to take it off them kind of thing. But I was just so pleased for Jonathan Gresham that he finally got his first championship in Ring of Honor, you know, and it's great for him to be with a real world champion. Well, I mean, a real sort of pioneer of Ring of Honor with Jay Lethal, who now is a Triple Crown champion as well, because he won the tag titles, the Ring of Honor title, and the TV title. And I think he held the Pure title. If I'm mistaken, did he hold the Pure title? Maybe. I'm trying to remember now.
He did.
Yeah, might be Grand Slam champion, maybe. Yeah.
Slam champion.
So yeah, I thought it was really good.
He's one of the people who's trying to get the ROH Pure title back.
We could try. Share it between them.
Pure tag team championships. he's not, but I'm just saying he is. So much like you agree with that, Gresham's gone 3 years too long without an ROH title. So that's been rectified.
Yeah.
And just that really. And then we're on to the main event, which was PCO. One third of the ROH World Six-Man Champion, Tag Team Champion, against El Toro Blanco, Roosh, the ROH World Champion. So this was crazy. Not quite sure if that's in a good way. I need to know what the rules are for an ROH World Championship match. Are they, they can't be strict. They don't, you know, the referee must be lenient and kind of relaxed rules, because there should have been a disqualification about 2 minutes in.
Yeah.
And there wasn't. And then the match just goes on from there, but a lot of it's spent outside the ring. PCO gets brought back to life with car battery.
Yeah.
Which was interesting.
Jump leads.
jump leads from a car battery in it. I don't know cars, so if I get that wrong, it's completely understandable. In the end, PCO wins the ROH World title, which is obviously a great story to tell. Love to know why he got blackballed about, because that was not explained. And I'm too lazy to look on Google. to come back from that, and obviously had the match with Walter, the WWE UK champion, which put him back on the map. And then he's had a brilliant stint in ROH to become the champion. For Roosh, he's been undefeated all year, which I'm sure you can back up.
Yeah.
To then lose this match, not sure where he stands, and I wonder if ROH management done it just so, you know, my fantasy booking doesn't come into effect with him and his brother fighting for the two titles. I jest, honestly. And this, the best thing about this was my bracket buster. Everything else right except this match. I was like, oh wow. Unsure if it's the right decision. I guess PCO is going to be a transitional champion, but he's had his moment in the sun, which is thoroughly deserved. We can't question that at all.
Yeah.
What would you like to say about this match, Stephen?
I feel that I kind of knew what was going to happen. I knew it was kind of going to be PCO's redemption in terms of he was finally going to win the world championship. I just had an inkling. In terms of sort of the lineage of the Ring of Honor championship and Roosh as a champion, I don't know. and his performance throughout the year, as you just mentioned, I don't know whether it's really hindered that and it's hurt that. And I thought the match was... I'm with you, actually. I don't know what the heck's going on with Ring of Honor World Championship rules. Like, and PCO matches in general, like, people getting thrown through tables and then, like, yeah, you know, that's not a disqualification and all this kind of stuff. And I don't get it.
Stephen, I'm on board with it, but it wasn't.
No.
It wasn't explained.
No.
If it's relaxed rules for championship matches, okay, fair enough. Because if you remember way back when, obviously, Danielson against Morishima, maybe, and it was like, this is relaxed rules. Not necessarily for a title, but you were told this is a fight without honor, etc. So if you tell us that, then okay. But it just doesn't make sense.
No.
Because it wasn't explained. So that's what I'll say on the matter, really.
I was just going to say that it was not one of the greatest Ring of Honor World Championship matches, but it achieved what it needed to do. It was a feel-good end to the show. I know I've read some criticisms online about it. I mean, I'm skeptical about what's going on.
To be honest, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that was about to say, is that I can kind of see that. But I'm just pleased for PCO at the end of the day. You know, the guy's had an incredible 2019, and, you know, he's been one of the focal points in Ring of Honor. He can still go. He can still work like no one else. He's crazy in both his gimmick and the stuff he does in the ring. He's just something different, and it's refreshing to see someone new holding the championship who thoroughly deserves it, you know? And it was a great finish to a great... I thought it was a great pay-per-view that we both talked about. I thought it was a strong finish. Yeah.
And the rest of Villain Enterprises came out to help PCO celebrate being the champion, which was a nice way to end the show, like I said. The oldest ROH World Champion in history, that's the route they're going down. And they have told a great story with PCO. You can't take that away from him in terms of what he does as a, you know, for the age that he is. Is tremendous. And you watch a PCO match and you're enthralled by the craziness he does, especially that senton onto the ring apron, which he never seems to hit, but he manages back on it. It's just like crazy, crazy man. But a lot of respect to him. In the first ever Oliver versus Steven, even with the bracket busting, I won. Yeah.
Well done,
so, in terms of the show itself, Mexiblood versus Villain Enterprise delivered in spades.
Yep.
The ROH World Television title match was incredible. Shelley versus Colt Cabana needed a bit more time, but was still really good. Dan Maff against Jeff Cobb was a brilliant match, which we wanted to be on the main show. Maybe it might have got more time or maybe less time, considering obviously time constraints. So yeah, 4 out of 11 matches altogether,
something like that.
Were for me quite good or better, and nothing against the other matches. I think everything worked for what it could work with. It was either good or better, if we look at it that way. But those matches stood out for me. So was it worth the $35 that you had to pay for it on Fight TV or on Ring of Honor Honor Club if you didn't have Honor Club VIP, or if you had ROH on a club monthly, you got it for half price? I think with on a club VIP, it's going to be value for money. Four really good matches or better. I'm not sure in terms of the $35 aspect of Fight TV or just ROH's website on its own. So yeah, much like we said before in the preview, probably have Honor Club if you haven't watched this pay-per-view yet, and you'll get the best value for money. And what would you like to say about it, Stephen?
I thought it was a really strong pay-per-view for Ring of Honor. It delivered. Definitely check out Mix of Blood and Villain Enterprises, Jeff Cobb and Dan Maff. I'd say check out the Briscoes and Gresham and Lethal, just to see Gresham finally get to the top of the Ring of Honor tree finally. And Alex Shelley and Colt Cabana for the sort of nostalgic Ring of Honor matches we all know and love, those technical encounters. But yeah, I thought it had a lot of variety. I thought it was well paced. I thought the crowd were good.
ROH World Television title match.
Dragon Lee and I knew I'd miss one. Dragon Lee and Shane Taylor match of the night. Yeah,
you got to try and remember 11 matches.
Yeah, you
know, remember the best of them. So
yeah.
I think it's an ROH pay per view that needed, for the critics' sake, to knock it out of the park.
Yeah,
and I'm not sure if it did that, but in terms of a reintroduction to Ring of Honor and the new Ring of Honor, I thought it was between probably being good or really good pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Not quite excellent. Probably, between good and really good, because for the four or five matches that we've mentioned, really. With our match tonight being Shane Taylor against Dragon Lee, Steve, and I would imagine. Yeah?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Fantastic. That brings a close to our ROH final battle review. I hope you've enjoyed the show. And just to get our sponsorships and everything in, we've got a partnership, BBGW Pod, with powerslam.tv. Fortunately, there's no Ring of Honor footage on there at the moment. We'd love there to be. They have over 6,500 hours of quality wrestling from 140 plus promotions. We will give you access to powerslam.tv for a month using the code BROKENFREE. So check it out on us. For myself, I'm a free-time pro wrestling author with two books that have Ring of Honor in them. My first book's a fan's perspective, one man's exploration of British wrestling. I was at Unified in August 2006 to see Brian Danielson versus Nigel McGuinness live, and it was amazing. And hopefully I did it justice in the book. And in my second, and I was at the ROH shows in 2007, sharing a hotel with the ROH wrestlers and watching Samoa Joe's leaving tour in that book. And then from my second book, Fans Perspective, How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare, I was in Orlando in 2008. I saw the two ROH shows before WrestleMania, including the fantastic Austin Aries versus Nigel McGuinness ROH World Championship match. And they're available on the Big Cartel, fansperspective.bigcartel.com. They're available on Amazon and paperback. Kindle, you can download instantaneously, and they're available for free on Kindle Unlimited. And yeah, if you could support myself with that and Stephen with his articles, which we'll mention momentarily, that will help keep this ROH podcast free. And that's what we want to do for all our listeners out there that have been absolutely fantastic since the debut show a little over 6 weeks ago. So, yeah, throwing it back to yourself, Stephen. You've got some amazing articles that I'm sure you'd like to promote.
Yeah.
And ROH hate mail to go to you.
Yeah, if you want to send me any hate mail about Final Battle and Ring of Honor, you can find me at Twitter at SteeJ215. I'm also a member of the Wrestling Estate. So if you go into Google and type the Wrestling Estate, you'll be able to find my various articles about Ring of Honor. As well as various aspects of the industry, along with my colleagues, where we cover Ring of Honor, we cover New Japan, we cover WWE, the independent scene, and we also always have a weekly roundtable where we all contribute to. And you can also find The Wrestling Estate on Twitter if you search at The Wrestling Est. So that's at The Wrestling EST. And yeah, you can also find all different aspects of the different members of the team there as well, and follow them. And yeah, just to thank again Oliver for another great podcast about this time about Final Battle. And yeah, it was great. So thank you, Oliver.
For my Twitter, it's at Bronmial. For my Instagram, it's at Bronmial. For my Facebook, it's A Fan's Perspective UK. For the pub, the BBG Hub, it is at BBG Wrestling on Twitter. For the main podcast, it is at BBGW Pod on Twitter. And we have a website, which is bbgwrestling.com. And yeah, that brings an end to tonight's multi-parted Final Battle review. Me and Stephen will be back with the hopefully Stephen will be he's got it to watch. We'll be back for the Final Battle Fallout review, and both will be posted by the end of this week. We're going for Friday and Sunday respectively, and then we'll be back for the ROH TV review on Monday evening of next week, so a couple of days before Christmas. And yeah, huge thanks to everyone who has been with us on this ROH journey so far. It's definitely been worthwhile, and it's something we want to continue to the point where obviously myself and Stephen have joined the Honor Club after talking about it for so long. We have put our money where our mouths are. And yeah, ROH, you have us for a year at the very least. And we believe in you. So keep doing what you're doing. And yeah, that's it really. So thanks very much, everyone. And good night.
Good night, everyone. And thanks again.
Bye for now.
Bye. Bye.